Just a quick note before getting into this week's podcast. The podcast you're about to listen to was recorded on Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. As I'm putting together the final bits of this to release it, it's around lunchtime on Friday, December 14th. And as I speak, the events are playing out related to the elementary school shooting in Connecticut. Obviously, we did not speak about that at all in the podcast you're about to hear because it was recorded before it happened. But I'm guessing we'll talk about it next week. Anyway, you know, I guess here you go. Here's the podcast. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Tuesday, December 11th, 2012. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo.
We couldn't do it at our... We're doing it 24 hours later than we usually do it because I was out at a show with my family and stuff. It was cool. We went to the movie How to Train Your Dragon cartoon. They have a live version.
I have no clue.
Yeah, you'll know in a few years. Anyway, it was cool. But
I'm gonna plan on outsourcing that. But anyway,
yeah. Good luck.
I could subcontract subs.
Yeah. So we do have a few things to talk about. One, before I forget, we've got some feedback from a show we did a couple weeks ago when we talked about Gaza and Israel and such. So we'll talk about that. We keep putting off like the fiscal cliff stuff, so maybe we'll talk about that some. But the one thing I wanted to mention about that, and we'll get to in a minute, there were a couple polls that came out about the fiscal cliff around Acorn, a couple things like that that were interesting.
Acorn, is that like so past due? I mean, it's like
well, that's part of the point. So, and then we got I finally got my iPhone 5. So I have some things to say about that.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And some thoughts about cord cutting in general. Like, the idea of watching all your entertainment online rather than through, say, cable. I guess iTunes 11 came out since we last talked, and maybe I have some thoughts on that. But let's start with the feedback.
Feedback.
This is actually from Bruce, who, if you remember, was our guest last week.
Yes.
And our guest once before. First of all, before anything else, he mentions that he is going to be attending CES in Las Vegas next month and asks if he can come on again.
Sure.
So, he's becoming a perennial guest star on our show.
Yeah,
except I'm probably using the word perennial incorrectly, but whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but he also said, one more thing. I listened to your show from a couple of weeks ago. I disagree with your assessment of the Gaza conflict. You compared the conflict to a war between the U.S. and Canada, or Boca Raton and Miami. That would be fair if Gaza was an independent and sovereign country. They are not. A better analogy would be that it is like a prison riot. The Gazans are under a blockade and cannot import or export the most basic goods. The prisoners are fed up with their treatment and are fighting back.
That's a good point.
I'll tell you my reaction. The first thing I was like, well, yes. You know, I think that's a good point. Like in that the Gazans aren't an independent country. They're not able to do everything. They've been under severe conditions imposed upon them, essentially unilaterally by Israel for many, many years now. And so they're in a situation. But I want to defend my analogy a little bit, because what I was using that analogy for was saying, if we had fully sort of rational actors in place here, and that's why I was picking the U.S. and Canada, because I was picking, you know, a situation where you have two countries that are basically understanding, and if something happened, if there was some provoking event between the U.S. and Canada, it wouldn't immediately escalate into a war. And that was kind of my point. And I think that, and I was contrasting that to the situation between Israel and Gaza, where you've got both sides on a hair trigger. And absolutely anything that happens on either side, the other side is ready to respond forcefully. And indeed, it's very asymmetrical. I mean, that's one of the key items of the conflict, is that the Gazans aren't anywhere near approaching the military capability of Israel. The amount of damage they can do is much less than the damage Israel can do. Israel's got all the cards in this equation, essentially. But, you know, the prison riot wouldn't have served my analogy very well, because, frankly, let's play that out. Let's say that we're in the U.S. and we've got a prison that does start uprising and fighting back, and they're throwing and they're shooting rockets, homemade rockets, out of the prison into the town next door. We would obliterate the prison.
Yeah, that's true. We would just fucking, I mean, yes, that's true. There would be bombed. Yeah, there'd be nothing left. But here's the other thing. I mean, I do agree a little bit with what he's talking about. I mean, he does have some sense in it, but yet here's the other aspect, right? Supposedly, these territories are supposedly backed by, they have the support, supposedly, of the countries that are actually neighboring them on the other side, like Egypt and Jordan and Lebanon
only
and Syria.
Slightly.
But even they have ghettoized them as well.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you remember, like, way back when, part of the, and we're going back decades now, one of the things that Israel and others said at various times is, you know, well, the Palestinians do have a homeland. They can just go to Jordan or
right.
you know, go to Israel or whatever, or, you know, and they're, but those countries don't want these folks either.
Right.
You know,
I feel like to a certain extent, it'd be like, I don't know. Think about if for some reason we marginalized Michigan, right? And the Canadians were, you know, cutting them off and whatever. And we'd be like, hey, oh, we want your help. And be like, no, we don't want you either. Screw you too.
Well, and in the case of Gaza, the relevant party is Egypt, I guess.
Egypt, yes.
But, you know, because of Egypt's treaty with Israel, I guess, I don't know the exact logistics of it, but, you know, Egypt's not, you know, saying, okay, we open the borders with Gaza.
No, by no means.
And
no.
Gazans are welcome to travel back and forth to Egypt. And
as a matter of fact, the total opposite.
Yeah.
They had that border totally sealed as well.
Right. So, yeah, whatever.
It's a clusterfuck.
I think that's one of the things that most people can agree on in this situation. I mean, it has calmed down a bit since we talked about it a couple weeks ago, which
yes,
is good,
did.
I guess. But, you know, the thing that we haven't talked about, the development, is, you know, the UN General Assembly recognized Palestine.
That's correct.
As a non... What's the right term? Non-governmental, non-state observer? Whatever the term is.
It did, yes, it recognized their standing, at least in the UN,
but
even though they don't have a vote.
Not as a full-fledged country, but as like one step less.
Right, correct.
And this is something where the U.S. has dramatically opposed this, and in various times in the past has one way or another prevented it from happening. This time, the U.S. sort of in a lukewarm fashion said, we don't like this, and we bribed a couple of countries in the Pacific to like vote with us against it, and but it passed overwhelmingly, and then Israel responded by saying, okay, then we're going to build settlements in this E1 zone, which is apparently a very controversial area in the vicinity of Jerusalem. If the Israelis fully took over this E1 zone, it would sort of further cut into little ribbons the remaining Palestinian territory and keep, you know, one of the characteristics of the settlements that Israel has been building in general is they're not just like taking slices off the edge. They're taking little ribbons that slice up the Palestinian territory so it's no longer contiguous with itself. So that, you know, there's a little bit here and a little bit here, and you can't get from here to there without going through an Israeli zone.
Right.
And so this, of course, has been very
Well, it's not the only place where that's happened. I mean, if you remember, you remember when they had partitioned Berlin, like, you know, East mm-hmm. Germany, West Germany, for example. I mean, yep. that's been a case where, you know, that you couldn't get to from one to the other without going through the other, you know, country. Yeah, I mean, yeah. it's not a unique situation.
It's a known strategy, but it's a known hostile strategy. I mean, you know.
Well, yes. True, but it's not unique.
It is not unique. But anyway, this of course is raised tempers further, and basically, I've seen some things where you know the U.S. is sort of holding back from this a little bit, and we're not supporting Israel, we're not condemning them either. But in the past, we probably would have defended them, and now we're just like. Yeah, no. But we're not going so far as to actually, you know, threaten Israel with any sort of retaliatory actions. That's just not politically feasible in the U.S. given the current environment. But, you know, Israel seems to be consistently over the last few years, at least in my view, doing exactly the things that actually weaken their situation the most going forward. They're not in any way, shape, or form taking actions that will lead to a long-term future where the Palestinians and Israelis can live peacefully side by side.
You don't think that they're out there like at a get together like next week and sing We Are the World?
No. And I think this is a very intentional strategy by the current government in Israel. I mean, they essentially want to make that outcome impossible because... Yeah, they want to just continue expansion of the settlements and eventually. Yeah,
but I don't know.
Where do you end up there?
Just,
I mean, this is the thing.
It just drives me crazy because what is their expectation?
What's the end game?
I mean, are they just genocide? Is that what they're going to do with the Palestinians? Let's just fucking annihilate them. Is that it? I mean, what is the goal?
Or do you keep them in their little Bantu stands with no political rights and you just ghettoize them further and further and further and then end up, you know...
Until what?
I mean, people are already saying the situation is analogous to apartheid in old South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you know, and I've heard over and over again the comments with, you know, if things continue where they're going... Israel will at some point have to choose between being a Jewish state or being a democracy because it won't be able to do both because it'll be in charge of this huge population of Palestinians mm-hmm. that, you know, if they had equal political rights within Israel would have a majority and would win, or they put all these people in these little smaller and smaller contained areas and say, well, no, they're their own thing and they're not part of Israel, but they're governed by Israel and they're not able to. Anyway, it's a mess and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
All right, we're not going to solve it today.
On that happy note, let's take a break and we will come back and, we'll pick one of the other things to talk about. We will be right back after this exciting message.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
And here we are. So, Yvonne, okay, we got a choice here. Do you want to talk about some of the polls that came out about people's awareness of some of the current events and issues?
Sure. I like that.
Okay.
Yep.
I don't even give my choices.
Or what? So what's the other option?
No. Let's start on that one.
No. Finding out how stupid people are is always funny.
So, and of course, I'm not prepared by having this information up in front of me. But
oh, well, why would we seek that kind of like help? I mean,
let me see if I can find it in 10 seconds. Okay. Here's a couple of things. Okay, you can stop singing now. Okay. So this is PPP put out a couple polls.
Okay.
And they were sort of picked out as sort of dumb Republican polls.
Oh, God.
I will say this is somewhat misrepresentative because there are plenty of polls that would show
dumb Democrats. I agree. I totally wholeheartedly agree.
49% of GOP voters nationally say they think that Acorn stole the election for President Obama.
Wait. What percentage?
49. This compares to 52% that thought Acorn stole the 2008 election. But the difference is Acorn doesn't exist anymore.
That's what I was going to say.
It was disbanded after the controversy last time around.
Right.
So, yeah. Now, let's see. Okay, here's another one. Let me see if I can find this one. The 25% of Republicans say they would like their state to secede from the union. Let's see. That was a good one. I'm looking for the one on the fiscal cliff stuff though. And I'm not finding this right now. Let's see. Do I get this one? No. Anyway, the point of this one is that they took the plan, the Bonnier plan, and polled on what percentage of people, and this was all people, not just Republicans, I think, liked or supported that plan or had a positive viewpoint of whatever, and they got some percentage. And then, just as a control, they made up a plan that didn't exist, that was like, you know, They picked two politicians' names, one Republican and one Democrat, you know, sort of senior statements, folks who, you know, were in office 10, 15 years ago, but not today, and asked about what people thought of that plan. And it came out about the same.
That's genius.
You know, so, you know, the reality of all these polls, this type of poll anyway,
is that people don't pay attention. We have a huge chunk of our electorate that's just a bunch of uninformed idiots.
Well, if you're polling the general population, yeah. I mean, yeah, most people don't actually know. But what's interesting is it's not like they had an I don't know category either, but people don't pick that one.
Yeah, that would be stupid. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. And related to this, since that was about fiscal cliff, let me do another one that I saw a few people talking about. And again, there have been articles on this. Can you hear me now, Yvonne?
I can hear you now, but sometimes you're going silent. Like when you're talking, I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, that sucks. I'll figure it out in a second. What was I saying? Fiscal cliff. A couple of people have talked about this as well in terms of how people represent the fiscal cliff. And another one of these poll questions was related to if we go over to fiscal cliff, what will happen to the deficit?
Oh, God.
And of course, most people thought it would go down. Of course, most people think if we go off the fiscal cliff, it will go up.
Fucking bunch of morons.
Of course, this is wrong.
It goes down.
And the reason I said most people, it was a large percentage. I can't remember off the top of my head if it was really over 50%. But it was a large percentage of people thought this. And of course, the reason why is for the longest time people have had drummed into them, the deficit is bad, the deficit is bad, the deficit is bad. So of course, if the fiscal cliff is bad, it must make the deficit worse, right?
No, wrong.
And so I've heard a number of people, especially on the left, say that trying to come up with different names for the fiscal cliff to try to make this clearer, like austerity crisis. Because of course the reality here is, if the number one thing you care about is the deficit, you should be absolutely rooting for us to go over that fiscal cliff and go over it as fast as possible.
Well, actually, apparently, look, I found this poll here, but this is 6 days ago. It says 47% of people
close think the deficit to 50. Close to 50.
Would increase if we go over the fiscal cliff. So it's not the majority of the people.
But is it more than said it would go down? Because I imagine there's some people who said they didn't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Stupid thing. My interweb is fucked up.
What is
going on with this thing?
Anyway, regardless of that, look, if you want the deficit to go down, going over the cliff is the best possible thing. It raises taxes, it cuts spending, it does both of those things dramatically. It does wonders for the deficit. In fact, there's some projections that's the sort of current law baseline people sometimes talk about. Under current law, the deficit goes away and we start paying down the debt in 5-10 years. It's wonderful. It fixes everything. It balances everything out and we're good.
Right. The thing is, it would be at the cost of a significant recession short term.
Right. And so the most likely the problem is that everyone's worried that if you make those changes so fast and all of a sudden do major cuts and all of a sudden do relatively major tax increases, then, you know, everyone would slam on the brakes in terms of spending and everything else that makes the economy go. Everybody would panic and stop doing stuff.
Okay.
And we'd hit
all right, I got the numbers. Okay, it's 47.4% say it will increase. 12.6% believe it will decrease. Jesus Christ, so bad. 11.9% it will stay the same. And 28.1% answered the best way to answer. I fucking don't know. For God's sakes,
who the poll was.
This is the bane of my day-to-day, okay? All right? Why do you get so many fucking people, okay, that think they know? Okay, but they don't fucking know. Okay, why does everybody want to say they know when they don't know? Why is it so? Why have we made it so fucking bad to say you don't know? I guess the problem would be if you have a job that says you're supposed to do X, and to every question you answer I don't know. Yes, you look like a complete moron. I agree. Okay, well, all right. Yes,
to be fair, I'm not picking a random person who answered these polls to be the next chairman of the Fed.
Correct. I mean, we're just asking you what you know, what you don't know. But the reality is that people, I've said this for a long time, that the problem is, you know, a lot of people, well, that guy is very smart. They keep talking about these guys that are very smart. And I'm like, no, he's not very smart. Why? Because the motherfucker thinks he knows a lot more than he does. And he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And that's why he's a bigger moron than a guy that knows less. Because at least the guy that knows less won't fuck up and answer wrong a whole bunch of shit.
And we don't in general have a culture, especially when you're talking pundits and stuff on TV or radio or wherever, of actually going back and saying, okay, what did they say? Let's first of all, on things that are objective truth, like this answer, I don't care how many people you ask, there is a correct answer.
Yes, there is a correct answer.
And so on that kind of thing, you can check.
Right.
You know, you could check. But even on things that are opinion and predictions and here's what's going to happen and I'm an expert and so listen to me because I know what I'm talking about, we very rarely go back and check and see, well, how close were these people?
Right.
To what they came out with. And you know, and so you see things, you know, and on the election, let's say, we have had a few of those, you know, we've, you know, made fun of certain people for their predictions of how big Romney was going to win by, which of course did not come true. But for the most part, you know, you don't pay attention. Okay, they said whatever in October, November, who cares? And they keep on spouting on TV like they know everything. And nobody says, hey, wait a second, guys, but weren't you wrong the last time you predicted something? What makes you think that you know any better than anybody else? What's your track record of the last 100 things you've predicted? How many did you get right? And that's one thing, by the way, and we're probably going to have our prediction show in a couple weeks at the end of the year. The last couple years, we've done this. We've done a prediction show, and then a year later, we've graded ourselves.
Right.
And I think that's cool that we do
and
that.
And we
most
actually
people
did
don't.
Pretty fucking good.
We did. Okay. We did. But,
okay. But we got stuff wrong. I'm sure we did.
And I'll give you another example of someone who is checking. I saw earlier today, you know, Nate Silver, 538, went back to grade how they did. And I don't have a link to you. I'm sorry. I saw it tweeted earlier. But if you look at sort of critical states, what was the bias that Nate Silver had? What do you think the bias was that Nate Silver had?
Gosh, I don't know.
He was more positive towards Romney than the reality.
Oh, wow.
By several percent.
I actually believe that because I remember, like, I was looking at some of the close ones, like, say, like, Virginia, Florida. Yeah. You're right.
And I haven't done my analysis yet. I'm planning on doing the same type of analysis. Like I got all the states right, but it's a lot easier to get all the states right than to look at the margins. And if Nate Silver was off, it was because the underlying polls were off. And it looks like the underlying polls in general were more favorable to Romney than they should have been. The last of the states should fully certify their results in the next week or two. Whenever I get some free time, I'll go back and look at my five poll averages versus the actual end results and see where things ended up. But I suspect I too was giving Romney more credit than he actually deserved given the polls. My poll would agree with the poll. You know what I mean. I suspect my last predictions were more favorable to Romney than what actually turned out as well. We'll see. I haven't done the analysis yet, but it's interesting to look back at that things. But most people don't. Most people don't bother to go back and say, you know, so-and-so says they're an expert. So before we look at them and trust them or not, let's look at the last few years worth of predictions and see how they turned out. And are they any better than rolling dice? And in most cases, they won't be. Or even worse, in a lot of cases where the experts are actually advocates for some position or another, you'll find that the reality is that they always predict that their viewpoint is better or their guy is going to win. And their accuracy suffers because of that, because the reality is sometimes their guy doesn't win.
You know, for an extended period of time, Sam went and had on his answering machine message when we were in college, I made a prediction, okay, a political prediction, which turned out to be incorrect. And he took a clip of that from the show and had it as part of his answering machine message for an extended period of time. Do you recall what that prediction was?
I actually don't. What was that
you
prediction?
You don't?
Yeah.
I can't believe you. That I predicted Paul Tsongas is going to win the Democratic primary.
Oh, Paul Tsongas. Yeah, I remember him.
Vaguely. And you went and like took that clip and put that in your answering machine message, basically by putting that part where I said that and then cutting it off and saying, sorry, wrong, Ivan. And I can't remember what the heck the rest of the message. And then your beep came on. Okay, all right.
Excellent.
So, yeah, he tortured me with that for a good period of time. Yes, I was wrong on that prediction. Okay.
I don't know. Totally. I fondly remember the Tsongas presidency.
Yeah, you don't, because especially since Tsongas is dead.
Yeah, well. Anyway, so interesting polls. I mean, you know, the thing is, you can't say too much about, like, these polls that, I mean, people don't know about their expertise. You're absolutely right. The key is people should be saying they don't know. I mean, to some degree, it frustrates me whenever I see polls of things that, you know, are just factual. Because the only thing they serve to show is how many people don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But they're often not presented that way. Sometimes they are. sometimes they're presented as, oh, haha, look, 80% of people can't identify where Iowa is. Okay, haha. But a lot of the times, it's like, you know, 60% of the public thinks this and 40% thinks that. So, hey, look, the 60% must be right. And it's like, but wait, that's a factual question. That's not something that you get the right answer by polling. That's something that you get the right answer by studying the thing in question.
Well, you know, look, the thing about people, this is just hilarious. I don't know. There was about four or five months ago, I can't remember what late night show did this. They took an iPhone 4S.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Jimmy Kimmel.
This is just before the iPhone 5 came out. And they kept handing it to people. Hey, here, we have the new iPhone. And everybody's like,
the iPhone 5.
Wow,
what do you
well,
think?
I have the current one. Oh, this one's lighter. Oh, this one feels faster, whatever. They were fucking using the same phone they had right now. Or at least they claimed they did anyway.
Yeah, no. And, you know, and the same thing is true. Like, it drives me crazy on things like climate change as well. Like, you know, yes, there's a very loud vocal minority. Like if you talk to some meteorologists, they'll be like, yeah, global warming, bullshit, blah blah blah. But if you talk to the experts in the field, if you look at the literature on it, the actual scientists who are studying it, it's not unanimous. Science never is, but it's pretty damn close in terms of what's going on out there. And whenever you see people giving equal time to both sides of the question, it's like, no.
Yeah, it's like giving equal time to the Flat Earth Society. I mean, really.
I mean,
truly is.
There are certainly, look, I want to be clear. Science is never 100%. That's the nature of science. There are always questions, and the new piece of evidence could always change everything. But you have to go with the best understanding, best explanation you have for the facts on hand. And right now, there's a very broad consensus on that. And you know, same thing with evolution, same thing with a number of other issues. And it's like, okay, if you want to ever talk about, like, okay, here are the people who think that's wrong. Okay, you can do that every once in a while, but it should be proportionate, you know? Like, if you've got a situation where 99.5% of the people agree that of the people who know what they're talking about the experts agree, then that should cover 99.5% of the coverage of it, and maybe 1 in 200 you say, oh, and there's this guy over here who has this nutball theory that's probably wrong, but, you know, hey, look, he's out there. I don't know. That kind of stuff.
I think one thing is that you got to separate science from, like, opinion, okay? And yes, That's the problem.
Well,
okay,
and this is the case, even when you are talking about politics and stuff, there are certain things where, yeah, and I think we've talked about this before. The press bends over backwards to do the equal time thing. We'll let the Republicans have their say. We'll have the Democrats have their say.
Well, not so much anymore, Avi, by the way.
Well, anyway. I know. Now we've got Fox and MSNBC, and they do their own things. But there's still, like, if you look at the New York Times or wherever, there are lots of places that still do this. But even with your Fox and MSNBCs, they're now playing advocate roles where they overwhelmingly support one side or the other. But the thing that kills me is they do this even in cases where a little bit of independent investigation would tell you which side is right. And sometimes either side, sometimes the Democrats are right, sometimes the Republicans are right. But in many cases, they're actually arguing about something where you can go back and you can look and you can look up the numbers and you can see, okay, which one's right. Now, sometimes it's matters of pure opinion. And when you've got a matter of pure opinion, it's a matter of pure opinion. If I'm arguing that red is better and you're arguing that blue is better, we're never going to come to an agreement. And
are you fucking kidding me? Red is better. Screw you. That's not a matter of opinion. That's fact.
Yeah, there you go. But there are many things that do have a factual basis, and a little bit of investigation could tell you. And it drives me crazy when in those situations, everybody, you know, because the reporters don't know either. They're not experts in the field. But it's like if you've got a Republican and a Democrat sitting there and arguing some issue, why not just, let's say they're arguing some economic issue. But they're a bunch of senators or something. Get the senators the fuck out of the room. Go find some qualified economists and ask them.
Well, that would take taking people with an actual brain to actually do analysis. I mean, I don't think we can do that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, we'll
you're out of your fucking mind. Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We'll come back after this. Yvonne mentioned all those people who were happy with their iPhone 4s that they thought were iPhone 5s. I actually got my iPhone 5 this week. And so I have some thoughts on it. And I'm looking at it right now, and I've got my old iPhone 4 in my other hand. And I can tell you, they are different.
They are?
This is actually an iPhone 5 in my hand. I didn't accidentally buy another iPhone 4. Anyway, we'll
that's good.
We'll be back after this, and we'll talk about that. Okay, here we are. Okay, so I got my iPhone 5. I'm excited. And I know, look, you know, if you want the timely reviews of the new gadgets the moment they come out, there are like a billion places that you could have been reading all about the iPhone 5 2 months ago or whenever the hell they announced it.
We're not those guys.
I took a while to get my iPhone 5, but I got it now. It's new to me now, so I'm going to talk about it now. And I'm also, I'll point out that I did not ever have an iPhone 4S, so I'm jumping straight from the 4 to the 5. So
that's a big leap. Okay.
So it's a bigger leap than if I'd gone to a 4S. So like I immediately noticed, you know, yes, there's the weight difference right off the bat, but also, oh yes, it's faster. You know, there are things that were painfully slow that I was getting really frustrated with my 4 about that this just, you know, handles smoothly. You know, programs I was running to there's one program I was running to take notes. It's a simple note. It's a decent program. It syncs the notes with the cloud. So blah, blah, blah. And in certain cases, it would be painfully slow. Like I would type and then it would catch up with me and I would tap and it would take a while to react and stupid crap like that. And it's nice and smooth on the new one. You know, all kinds of things are just smoother and nicer and, you know, The screen feels a little bit better, but like the extra size, you know, I didn't think the size would matter to me at all. But like, you know, I find like in mail, for instance, I'd previously turned off all the stuff that shows a couple lines of extra preview on each mail because I just wanted to see more on the screen. Now with the extra space, I don't feel like I have to do that anymore. And I have the preview lines again. I'm like, oh, it's nice having those preview lines. You know, stuff like that. I'm very happy with it overall. I will say a couple things I want to talk about. I'll do the older one first because, you know, Siri's been out forever, but I haven't had it since I had a 4S.
You had a 4.
Yeah, right. I had a 4. You had a 4S. I haven't talked about Siri, but, you know, I did try it. I've spent some time with it, and of course I will just validate everything everybody else has ever said about it, which is it's nice when it works, but most of the time it gets confused and is stupid.
I'm just right now, I don't know what the problem is. I gotta say one thing. It's just the voice recognition is not good enough. It keeps taking mangling shit that I tell it. It does something totally else.
Exactly. And I mean, and this is the chicken and egg scenario that has always existed with voice recognition stuff, is it's always sort of kind of almost worked, but and it may actually get correct 80% of the time, let's say, but that's not good enough.
There's a guy on TV. There's this TV show from the UK that I watch on the BBC, Top Gear. And the guy was like, he got into a 10-year-old Mercedes that had voice recognition, which they call the UK Linguatronic. And he goes and he mentions, and he tests it, and he says something, some command, and as per usual, it gets confused, and he says, "Perfect. Exactly like every other Linguatronic system I've tested. Strict disobedience." And it's, he's right. I'm laughing because I'm like, shit, he's totally right. I mean, how many times? I have voice recognition in my car, and it does work, you know, a lot of times. But my God, when it doesn't want to fucking understand what I'm saying, oh God, can it be annoying?
Yeah, I decided to test it. You know, the first thing I tested with it, I was driving to work on like Friday morning or whatever. And so I decided to use it to text my wife. And that actually went okay. Like I used it to text and it got most of the words right for the first two or three things I went back and forth. Then it started, you know, messing up in funny ways. But the first, you know, four or five texts I did, you know, it got right. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool because I can be driving down the street and say, you know, Siri, text my wife. And I can talk to it.
Of course, you could call her.
I would never do that. That's crazy talk. But then on Sunday night, we were going to the show that I mentioned at the beginning, and like halfway there, we're like, you know, the kid decides he want my son Alex decides that he wants to some food. He's ready for a snack or whatever. So I'm like, Siri, find me fast food. Okay, so it says, it finds me a list of fast food places. And I'm like, cool. And it lists the first one, and I'm like, that one sucks. And it, you know, it gives you a list of options. It says, you know, you can route to this, you can say skip or whatever. So I say skip. And this is where it starts getting confused. Because every time I say skip, it's thinking I'm saying yes. And...
oh, God.
And so, like, it's doing this, and then it's screwing up and saying, I don't understand you, and I don't know this, and I don't know what you mean. What do you mean, yes? And then I tell it to look for the stupid thing again, and we go through the same thing. And I look for it again, and we go through the same thing. Now, one interesting thing I found, and I'm not sure if this was Siri or something else, but, you know, in the time I'm fighting this with this thing, we've probably driven 10 miles. And... It's still giving me the same list of places.
Right, yeah.
With the same distances.
It pulled the list of places, but it's not updating the distance, it's right? Not updating. I've had that problem.
So like...
Very annoying.
So now I'm telling it, find me fast food, and it's now telling me this place that I was close to me 10 miles ago.
Right.
And I'm right. Like... So eventually I gave up, and you know, we just pulled off at the next exit and got some fast food. But I'm like, well, that worked well. Anyway, and then the other thing I wanted to talk about real quick is maps. And, you know, the on the 5 maps can actually be used for navigation. And you mentioned when we talked about this before, you don't use your phone for navigation at all.
Well, I use it occasionally, but it's a good thing you brought that up because I just recently, you know, it's a lot faster if I'm looking for somewhere. Okay. All right. Quickly. That the points of interest on my navigation system, even though I have the latest maps, is not the easiest to use. So if using Siri, I mean, or actually even not using Siri, I go into the fucking maps app and type, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It's a lot easier to just click that yes, route me go, than be fucking around with my GPS. Okay. Right.
Well, and yeah, my whole thing with built-in GPS is I could have gotten one in my last car if I wanted to, but I have determined I will never get the built-in GPS in anything because I plan to keep my car longer than I would want to not replace my GPS technology with something newer and better.
I don't mind that. Because the main point... The main difference of what having that built-in GPS technology gives you, it you know what I mean, it is the following the directions is a lot easier. And it's, I mean, the sound of the directions coming through the sound system, so it'll mute music or anything else going on,
I have a phone, it'll override
that, so therefore you won't miss a turn or you won't miss something, especially if you don't follow turn-by-turn directions, I have to use a lot of times to go to different parts of town because I visit a lot of customers.
But Yvonne, I have all of that. My iPhone is on a mount on the dashboard. It's connected to my sound system with Bluetooth. All of this stuff goes through the speakers. It mutes my music, and everything else is coming through my iPhone too. You know, so everything.
Yeah, but that wasn't available 5 or 6 years ago.
See, exactly.
That's available now.
But that's exactly my point. Like, you know, I
Okay, I'm sorry. That wasn't available. Let me go back. That wasn't available when I first got my first car with GPS 11 years ago. Yes, you forewent, like, all of that shit for 11 years.
Well, no.
I wasn't willing to wait that long.
My standalone GPSs, even back in the day, were absolutely fine. Anyway, whatever.
They wouldn't mute the sound on the fucking stereo. I listened to music loud. When I had a music that way, what would happen is a fucking GPS would go off. I wouldn't hear shit. So I would miss whatever the fuck turns we were going on. Well, no, that doesn't work.
Then you had the sound up too loud, because you should have it soft enough so you can hear ambient noise outside your car.
Oh, yeah,
anyway.
Of course. Bite me.
Yeah, anyway, that was a digression. My point was, on maps... You know, obviously Maps has got all kinds of criticism, and including today, there was the news that the police in Australia are warning people not to use Apple Maps.
Why?
Because there's this town that it erroneously thinks is in the middle of the outback and in some national park. And so there was some people rescued, apparently, this week that tried to navigate to this town. And instead of taking him to an actual town, took him to the middle of nowhere in the middle of the outback, where, you know, they were, you know.
Well, but you know what? I'm sorry. I have had that. I'm sorry. Hello. Do you remember our excursion to the city of Roy?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
I do.
You know what? That has been part of mapping GPS. Always, you need to validate what the fuck the damn GPS is telling you. I have had my GPS take me on wild goose chases many, many times. And just Google Maps, built-in GPS, TomTom, whatever the fuck you want. You gotta fucking look at what the hell the damn thing is saying. The other day, I'll give you an example, like about a couple of weeks ago. I got an employee, okay? They were trying to drive to a place that was very far. They put in the directions to the place, and they're driving off. And I ask her, hey, how many miles to go to the place? And she tells me, like, 300 miles. I'm like, well, that's fucking impossible. It's only 170 miles there. And the fucking GPS was sending her to the wrong place.
This
is a brand new car.
I got to jump in because I also have... Over Thanksgiving, was going to visit one of her brothers at one of her brother's kids' place. Okay, they live in upstate New York. She realized that she'd put in the wrong town. She lives in Ohio, by the way. She realized that she'd put in the wrong town into the GPS. She had mistyped a zip code or something. I forget exactly what it was. When she got to Long Island.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So and then she turned around and went back up to near Albany.
Wow.
So she's
far off, man.
And she's telling me that, you know, what? And I apologize. Sorry for making this public. I probably shouldn't have. Oops, I'll edit out who you are. somebody I know. Anyway, she's telling me that as she's driving, she's thinking, this isn't the way I'd usually go to Albany. This isn't the way I'd usually go to Albany. I wonder what the GPS is telling me. This must be an interesting new way to get to Albany. And she gets as far as New York City, and she's like, this is really weird. Maybe it's taking me to the other side of the Hudson.
The towns around Albany have gotten really big.
Well, she knew she was heading to New York City, but she thought maybe it was taking her to New York City and then north on the other side of the Hudson and back. And she's trying to rationalize what it's doing. And
I've done that. I have done exactly that, where I've had the GPS take me, gosh, this is such a weird route. Why the heck? And I'm like, you know, and I've gotten there, and I'm like, you moron!
Well, and I don't think I've ended up at the wrong place, but what I've done a couple times...
Oh, I have.
It is not realized that I had switched the GPS to avoid highways.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm going and I'm going and going on back roads, and I'm like, God damn it, this is a lot further away than I thought it would be. And then I'm like, oh, you know, because it's having me go all the way around a lake instead of taking the bridge across the lake and, you know, stuff like this. So, but anyway, I'm off on a tangent again. My point here was with Apple's Maps, my initial impression was I didn't like the interface. It was missing a lot of stuff, like for navigation specifically, that I expect to see on a GPS screen while I'm navigating. Like, I want to have always present, you know, my estimated time of arrival and how long I have left and things like that. And they aren't there by default. I figured out you can just tap the screen and they show up and stay there unless you tap again. So I solved that problem. But, like, it's just the display is a lot less sparse. It's sort of very Apple in that, like, they show the bare minimum stuff there. They don't clutter it up with a lot of information, but I'm used to all that information density. Like, it doesn't show on the navigation map, for instance, traffic. So most of the other GPS programs I've used recently, on the map, as you're navigating, you know, they'll color the roads red or yellow or whatever if there's bad traffic on them.
But that shows that too.
No, it shows it on the map view. It does not show it
but not
it
on the navigation view.
You know, some of the programs I use actually also have additional, like, little icons and stuff. If there's an accident, you can click on it, you can see that there's an icon. Not that you should be messing with too much of that while you're driving.
It doesn't show it, except I haven't seen it really in the navigation view. I haven't tried that.
It's not in the navigation view. And of course, like I said, there's the logic. You shouldn't be fucking with that while you're driving anyway. Yeah,
but the turn-by-turn directions are very crisp. They're very easy to follow. I've put it a couple of times, and, you know, it's quite, you know, it's pretty big. I mean, you know, it goes very clearly, gives you the instructions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what I decided is that I would exclusively use the Apple Navigation for 1 week, and then I would go back. I had pretty much settled on Waze. I'd been using Waze for the last 6 months or so. Before that, I went through a period where I was trying out 5 or 6 navigation apps and switching back and forth all the time. And I'd settled on Waze and I'd been using it for a while. But I figured I will use Apple exclusively, and then I will go back to cycling between 5 or 6 navigation apps and decide which one I like the best again on the iPhone 5. And also, they may have had updates since the last time I used them, so it's time to reevaluate. And I think I'll stick with that plan. But here's the thing. You know, like I said, my initial impressions where I wanted more information density, because the navigation was very sparse, which has some good things for it, but I'm used to having a lot more information at my fingertips while I'm in the navigation app than what's there. But here's one thing. I've used it now a couple times to navigate to and from work from home. And previously, like I said, I was using all these navigation apps, but I changed the office I go to.
To go from work? Why would you do it to go to work?
Okay, look, I never am driving in my car without the GPS on and going where I'm doing. And here's why. Here are a couple things. First of all, the traffic stuff and everything else I was mentioning, the situational awareness. Not with the Apple one so much because, like I said, it's sparse. But with the other ones I use, I get continuous live update of what the traffic situation is up ahead. Continuous live update of my ETA. So if I'm going at rush hour or whenever, like the time it takes for me to get from my home to my work varies depending on traffic from...
Yeah, that's true. You got a pretty bad commute. I mean, my commute is nowhere nearly that bad. I gotcha.
It varies based on traffic from 35 minutes to almost 2 hours, depending on traffic. And so this will constantly tell me what that is. I've had it on a number of occasions dynamically reroute me around traffic. So my normal route is straight down Interstate 5 from where I am to my work, pretty much. But on a number of occasions, it's told me, get the hell off 5 and go this other way because 5 is jammed up.
I see.
You know, so it's very valuable. But I changed offices. The actual building I go to changed a few months ago. And I think I've been using Waze exclusively since then, so I don't know what the other GPSs would have told me. But in my first 2 days of using Apple Maps, it suggested new ways for me to get back and forth to work that I think shaved 15 minutes off my commute. And that makes me happy right away. What it specifically did is it's smarter about using their express lanes that only go certain times of day. And it's smarter about using those than Waze was. So on the way home from work today, for instance, it was telling me to go away. And I'm like, where the hell is it taking me? And it took me to an entrance to the express lanes that I didn't even know was there. And then I'm in the express lane and I'm zooming in at almost the speed limit, looking over at the people in the regular lanes where I normally would have been crawling along. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. So anyway.
Okay. So you got some pretty particularly good reasons for that. Okay. I'm like, my commutes are relatively, you know, I know the routes pretty well, even the ones that the GPS would suggest, even with the traffic. I don't know, you know me. It doesn't vary that much. I mean, my office really, I mean, the most it takes is like 40 minutes for me to get there.
You know me, and I know I'm an exception here, but like I also sometimes drop my son off at preschool. It is less than 5 miles from home. It is about a 7 or 8 minute drive. There is only one possible choice of direction to get there. And I still set the GPS every time I go. Almost every time I go.
Yeah.
I do not drive without the GPS mounted and pointed at where I'm going. Even if it's someplace I go every day and there's no question whatsoever about the route. It's just always there.
I don't do that. Now, I've met other people that do, but I'm not. No.
Now, however, I don't do the thing where, and I should say anymore, I don't do the thing where I follow it into places that look dangerous. Because,
well, that's good news.
Like there was, just a couple years ago here in the Seattle area, there was somebody who drew, it was a tourist from out of town who,
got themselves shot?
No, they didn't get themselves shot. They drove their car into a creek because the GPS told them to.
Genius.
And my particular example, which by the way could have gotten me killed, there was a case a few years ago where there was I forget who he was, but there was a manhunt on for somebody who was traveling from up here near Seattle down to California with his family, and he was following the GPS, and he decided to make an adventure of it or whatever, and he turned onto a road that actually was seasonally closed because, you know, it went over some snow, weather, mountains, whatever. His car got stuck. His family got stuck.
Some of them died, right?
The family survived. On the third day they were stuck or something like that, he decided to go get help. And so he walked away from the car trying to go get help. And wasn't dressed for it, and he froze to death.
Yeah,
A few hours later, they found his family, and the rest of them were rescued fine. But, like, I had a situation, and if you go on my website, on abelsmay.com, to the trips section, and then go to the Grantsville, Nevada, I believe is the... Yeah. So I did the same...
He got stuck somewhere out in the desert.
I got stuck out in the desert somewhere because what I did was I followed the GPS. It took me off the main road onto a little dirt road. And I was like, oh, this is cool, a dirt road. But then it had a section that got muddy and my car got stuck in the mud. And so I wasn't as prepared as I should have been, but I did have a tent. So I pitched my tent and I slept overnight. And in the morning, I went and walked like 5 miles and found help and somebody pulled me out. But I'm lucky I was 5 miles from help. And I'm lucky that it was, you know, a night where it was 40 degrees outside instead of a night where it was below freezing and snowing. you know, and all of that kind of stuff. I could have gotten killed there. And the point goes back to what you were saying, that, you know, you got to be careful with these things. You got to use common sense.
With all of them, you got to check where the hell the damn thing's going. I mean, usually if I'm going on somewhere, I mean, if I'm going somewhere where I'm pretty sure like it's around town or something, whatever, that's where I've gotten in trouble. I wound up at the wrong address. Okay. All right. But I've been like, say, maybe like 5 blocks away where I'm supposed to be or something. But if I'm going on somewhere long distance that I have no clue about it or whatever, whatnot. Oh, shit. You bet your ass. I'm looking at it. I'm double checking the address. I'm printing a map. I'm checking it again. So what the hell? I'm going. And then I'm going, you know, just so I don't, you know, that kind of shit doesn't happen.
You know, okay? I won't do all that, but I will at this point. If the GPS is telling me it to go somewhere and I'm like, this isn't quite right, then I'll double check. You know,
usually if I'm going on a long trip, I will go and I'll try to verify the directions before we go. I mean, like, for example, we did this road trip this summer, okay, where we went to Memphis and a couple of different places. I mean, even though we had the GPS and we got the phones, we went and we ran the routes first and checked what options we were doing before we set out, okay, just to make sure that we were pretty sure about which way we were going, okay?
Right.
So I did that, and you know, and I printed some maps just in case, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, just a standby. I mean, because I don't know what. Sometimes I've had the GPS will throw you in a direction. All of a sudden, road doesn't exist. This is not there. And there was a place where, by the way, that happened.
By the way, Yvonne mentioned earlier our trip through Roy.
I
mentioned it. You can go to my site, abelsmay.com, and go to trips. And the Nevada trip is the one I was just talking about where I got stuck overnight. The trip, Yvonne, is listed at the bottom of that page as a non-random predecessor GPS trip to Miami Beach, Florida. And you'll see about Roy. Roy was on day four. Day four was Roy. So you can read all about our nice little trip. Anyway, we've only done 3 segments, but we've been going over an hour the last few weeks. We're just
so I guess we're done.
Unless there's anything you are really anxious to talk about, we can wrap it up.
No, I think we're done for today.
Yeah, and we'll save cord cutting and iTunes and all this other crap for some other time. We'll wrap it up. Thank you very much for joining us yet again. As usual, if you have feedback, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com.
Yeah, he'll never answer. Yeah,
don't call me. I'll send you to voicemail and you'll never hear from me. I might email you back. I don't know.
Was Roy somewhere? Where the heck was it? I'm trying to see if it find it on the GPS maps now, on Google Maps.
I've looked for it again. I believe the exact location isn't on our site, but I believe by looking at the map, it was north. It was like halfway between Gainesville and Daytona Beach.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Somewhere up there. Yep, okay.
Anyway.
See if I find it.
Have fun, guys. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, wait. Before you go, 2 quick things that I remembered after we've stopped recording. One, another thing about the iPhone 5 I just wanted to mention is battery life. Definite improvement. For the first time in forever, I've had my phone last through the whole day without me having to charge it in the middle of the day or without using one of those battery cases, which I'd come to completely rely on in order to get through the day. And so at least a brand new one, a brand new iPhone 5 is lasting longer for me with just as heavy use. Second, since I mentioned the random vacations where I almost killed myself, I'll add another one. I had mentioned the random vacation to Nevada. So if you go to abelsmay.com and go to the trips section in the upper navigation menu, you'll see all of my old random vacations. The one I mentioned during the show previously was the one from 2002 to Grantsville, Nevada. Yvonne mentioned the 1998 trip to Miami Beach, Florida, but I'll also mention the 2003 trip to Ridgewood, Ohio. In that case, I didn't get stuck overnight, but I followed my GPS in the middle of a snowstorm up like a mountain and got to a point where my little old Saturn couldn't manage it and got stuck in a ditch. And luckily, I was only there, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before, you know, some rednecks in a truck came by, picked me up, and pulled my car out of the ditch. Anyway, yeah, don't do that kind of stuff, kids.